Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot the shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot. Just like the fajita. I write what I live. My life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow. Just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam. I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, but just like I'm reffing. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A, I'm coming in.
Hey.
Coming in, hot. What's going on, Kina?
What's going on, Blake? How you doing?
I'm all right. What's up, Point? What is the audience? Point Blankers. What's up, Point Blankers?
Point Blankers. That's what Elliot calls them, Point Blankers.
I know, Point Blankers. And once again, our guy E. It is his birthday week, folks. That man is a nice, firm, young 21. I think at some point we all get to reverse that clock and go back to 21, right? So he's a nice, firm 21. So E out there. I know he said he was planning on jumping on, bro. Enjoy your birthday week, man. Happy birthday from myself.
Hold on, here it is.
That was your disclaimer earlier.
Yep, that's what I was playing with earlier. I was like, we're going to have a happy birthday for Elliot today.
Oh, man. That's right. We got a good show lined up for y'all, folks. We got a good show. We're going to continue the conversation of National Safety Month, where we're focusing on firearm safety, you know, and we have, what was the segment called? Sounding Off with Sarge. Yes, you know, by request. Everybody kept on saying, we want to hear more of this guy. So we said, you know what, we're going to give the listeners 30 minutes of Sarge, which should be around that 8:45-ish time. So when he come on, it's a good time for you listeners to call in, 845-241-9979, 845-241-9979, and hit him with the questions. And if y'all think we're passionate, oh, yeah. Sarge, for those of y'all that's already heard this man speak, he is very passionate. Sarge is old
very
school.
Very passionate.
Very, very passionate. He loves his people. He loves his community. He loves his America, and he loves his firearm, and he loves his rights. So, Sounding Off with Sarge should be kicking off around 8:45. We're going to give him 30 minutes to speak his mind. But Yukia, how's everything been? How's your week?
Everything's good. Of course, everything's busy in, you know, personal and firearms world. So, you know, everything's busy, and that's good. Busy is good.
Oh, yeah, busy.
What about
you? There's two kinds of busy. There's busy where you're losing money, and there's busy that you're making money. So it sounds like the busy where you're making money. I'm busy, but I'm busy the one that I'm losing money.
You're so
spending
crazy.
Too much that I'm missing.
Busy is busy.
Yeah, busy is busy. Yeah. Well, now, for me, I had a great weekend. I spent some of my weekend with my BGI family, which is my Black Gun Initiative. It's a firearm Facebook group. We're more than a Facebook group. We're actual, like, group. You know, it's an incredible group. They're on the verge of becoming an organization in the near future. But it's the Black Guns Initiative. It's an incredible group, y'all. So check it out on Facebook. We had some time to spend with some new shooters and some you know, not so new shooters over the weekend on Saturday, doing some, you know, some drills, introduction to firearms, getting them very comfortable with shooting different types of calibers, different types of firearms. So it was really fun. My weekend was cool. But today I had a friend come down from a friend from New York. I'm not going to mention his name. Hopefully he's listening. Him and his wife and their baby came down. Beautiful family. I love these folks, man. I've known this dude for about 20 too long. Consider him a brother, but he came down from New York and I had the opportunity to show off my toys. So it was so cool. He embraced them way better than I thought. So bro, shout out to you. I was able to lay all my toys out for him. And the first thing, you know, what do people say when they first start seeing your toys, Kia? Well, why do you have that? And my answer is always, well, why not? You know, but after a while, he got it. You know, I think he asked that once, and he was like, you know what? He needs it. So more than likely, he might be moving from New York pretty soon. So I had to shout him out. If he's listening, bro, thanks for stopping by. Love you. Appreciate it. And my other brother came by, too, and we got to hang out a little bit. So you ready to get the show started? Let's kick it off. Well, folks, we are going to continue from where we left off last week. Again, shout out to Kia for telling us, hey, this month is safety month. We're going to flip it on them and turn it into firearm safety month. And she said, we're going to be covering this every Wednesday until it's done. So I thought it was a great deal. We didn't even have to put it to vote. When she puts it out there, we just jump on it. And, you know, we kind of got carried away talking with Sarge last week. That's why he's getting his own segment. And this week we want to double back and talk about concealed carry insurance. What is it?
Yes.
How is it? Who is it? Why is it? Do you need it? And we're going to try our best to answer as much of those questions as we possibly can. So I'm going to throw it to you, Kia. So concealed carry insurance, what is it?
Well, the same way that we have insurance when we drive our cars, it's the same thing we need when we're going to carry our firearms. It's basically a liability insurance. So, you know, you don't drive your car without insurance, and you shouldn't carry your firearm, you know, in case you have to use it for self-defense. So you want to make sure you have some liability insurance as well.
So you're telling me that agencies or companies or insurances out there, if that's a word, insurances out there that you're telling me that if I was to go out there and I say, look, I don't like that person, I'm going to take my firearm, bang, 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 shoot him. I just call my concealed carry insurance like, hey, report an accident. You're telling me it's that easy or is there a lot more to it?
No, it's a lot more to it than that. You have to be, okay. You know, it has to definitely be a self-defense shooting. And, you know, they're going to ask you a series of questions and things like that. But they help with, like, posting bail, you know, because, like I tell everybody in my concealed carry class, there's a possibility you're going to go to jail. So, you know, they're going to confiscate your weapons as well. You know, this insurance can also help you with loss of income if you're incarcerated for a certain amount of time and you can't work. Court appearances. We all know court appearances are expensive, and so are attorneys. And so this insurance helps you with all those things, you know, so that if anything happens and you are found to be you shot someone in self-defense, then you have something to cover you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one thing, folks, about the CCW insurance, it is for self-defense. And depending on the insurance you go with, it's not always about firearm. It doesn't have to be a firearm related incident. I'll definitely say look up the different insurances first. We're not gonna name them off for y'all. We're not gonna tell you which one to go with because we're not getting paid to tell you which one to go with. But you know, not all of them is strictly for firearms. You know, some of them. Let's say you got into an incident where you was forced into a fight and you had to defend yourself. We're all adults. So if we fight in the street, guess what? Someone's going to be detained and possibly arrested, right? So it's not always about a gun thing. So one thing all of them do have in common is you cannot be a willing participant. So the scenario I gave earlier where I was like, hey, I see somebody, I want to go shoot them, bang, 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 and call my insurance and say, hey, someone got shot, and I sit back and let a bunch of lawyers defend me. No, not at all. That is not how that works. You have to be a straight-up willing participant in that situation, okay?
Right.
Willing participant means you have to stay innocent through the entire thing, and staying innocent don't mean you can't defend yourself. Staying innocent means you cannot be the person to start a situation, which means you cannot be the agitator, I don't know the word. But yeah, you can't be the
aggressor.
Instigator. Sorry, you can't be the instigator. The aggressor, there you go. You cannot be the aggressor. It cannot be your fault because they will not cover you. So we brought it up, concealed carry insurance. You told us what it is. So why? Why should I have concealed carry insurance? You know, you hinted it to a little bit, Kia, but let's deep dive that on that a little bit, you know, because my car insurance, I hate my car insurance. And I ask myself all the time, why do I have car insurance until bang, not a gunshot bang, but bang, I collide with somebody. And at that point, I just realized that I ran into a Lamborghini. And boy, am I happy that I have insurance, right? So, Kia,
right.
Why you told us what it is, but why should we have concealed carry insurance?
You know, and aside from all the things that I said about, you know, self-defense and things like that, I think that people need to also understand it covers you in your home, too. A lot of the insurances will cover you if you have to shoot someone in defense of your home as well. So, you know, attorney fees are expensive. You know, no one has attorney fees can go, anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000. I don't have extra $20,000 to $30,000 laying around anywhere. And the last thing I want to do if I have to. Nah.
You don't have an extra $20,000 to $30,000.
No, I got $20,000 to $30,000 there. No. But the last thing I want to do is sit in jail while we figure out the right attorney to call and which one's awake if it happens in the middle of the night and, you know, things like that. So at least with I have conceal and carry insurance, and at least I have peace of mind in knowing that, you know, if something ever happens, then I have someone there that can, you know, help me and guide me and, you know, what I need to do. So.
Nice. See, well, hey, again, it's one of those things that you're like, I don't need it until you do, right? So we can't look
right.
at it that way. You have health insurance, right? Well, hopefully you have health insurance, right? But you have health insurance, and we don't go to the doctor every single time, right? But it's still something that you have just in case you need it. Okay, well, who is concealed carry insurance for? You know, you hit it on the head. I mentioned it earlier. It's not about having a firearm. You know, it's not just for having a firearm. Some of them, yes, but there's a couple out there that don't. It's more about self-defense, you know? So those are the ones you got to definitely do your research and see how you're covered. It's not always you're outside and you have to defend yourself outside the home. It's also inside the home. And that's probably when you need it the most, folks, is when you're at your most vulnerable state, right? And when you're home, you're at your most vulnerable state because you're relaxed, you're comfortable. You're not really you kind of teeter between condition white and condition yellow a little bit without even realizing
right.
it.
Right.
Someone kicks in your door, you have enough time to defend yourself. I don't really like saying shoot someone, but you have enough time to defend yourself. Guess who you're going to need? You're going to need someone to kind of have your back in that situation. So, Kia, I know you were saying it earlier. What does concealed carry insurance cover? They cover a lot. So, again, some of the most important things is expenses. You know, Kia definitely, I know she got it lying around, folks. She got $25,000 lying around. But she don't want to spend it defending herself. We don't want to do that, you know. You know, us instructors, folks, we're rich. We're balling, right? That's what a lot of people think. I got that this weekend. That,
yeah,
you're an instructor,
right.
I know you balling. I know, that's what they think. So you don't want to spend your hard-earned money on defending yourself against a case to where at the end of it is going to say, well, sir, ma'am, not guilty, self-defense. That's not fair to you. So that's where they come in. What else? You know, they'll post your bail. Let's say you're not detained, but you're arrested. They'll post your bail. And then on top of that, they'll definitely go, they'll provide lawyers. I don't have a lawyer retainer. You know how expensive that is?
Okay.
These folks do. Yeah. You know, so I know I said I wasn't going to say who we have, but I am going to go down a list and just throw some names out there for y'all to kind of know where to kind of look. And, you know, and not in any particular order, but we have a company called CCW Safe. They're, you know, you can check those guys out. Second Call Defense, Armed Citizen Legal Defense Network. That's another one. USCCA and US Law Shield. And there's a plethora of others. You know, these aren't, you're not going to be able to call Geico or State Farm or Progressive and say, hey.
Right.
That'll
be nice. I can add it to my car insurance,
they'll,
right?
Man, right? Can you imagine that? A home bundle, your home insurance, car insurance, and your CCW insurance. Yeah, oh my gosh, that would be awesome. So those are just a couple of names that we tossed out there. Do your research. I have it. Kia have it. E has it. Do your research, okay? Definitely do your research. If you have friends or family that have firearms, you know, they do your research. Now, if you want to know who we have, guess what? Join our class. Take a class. Take a ZAC tactical class. Take a point blank class. Or take a 610 tactical class, and you'll definitely know in that class who we got because we'll have them talk to you.
Yeah.
But I see our guy, Sarge. Sarge is on time.
Yes,
very punctual
it's
dude.
Time for signing up with Sarge.
Time
Let's
for signing
him
up for Sarge. Woo! Let's go. Signing up for Sarge.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Happy birthday to you.
Yay. See, Elliot, you're getting all kinds of birthday shout-outs. You should be here today.
Hey, Elliot, you don't need to be afraid of getting old, man. Just be worried about getting decrepit.
No.
As long as you ain't decrepit, you're doing okay, brother. Just keep on hanging in there.
That's right.
Sarge,
that's right.
Joining on. He wasn't able to join us today because, you know, he's probably out getting, you know, getting a drinking adult drinks. That's what he's doing, folks. Elliot's probably out there drinking adult drinks, having a good
I doubt it. He's celebrating with his family. Stop it, Dwayne.
Yeah. he's having a good old time. He's out and about in the streets.
good man.
I know, Sarge, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
You're
it,
welcome, sir. Your wish is my command.
Right. I know this is Firearm Safety Week. I wanted to hit on six things because I want when you start talking, I'm not saying a word, man. I'll probably ask questions. I want to be a student at that point. So I know I wanted to close out what we were talking about concealed carry insurance real quick here. You said something that a lot of people don't realize is that when you're involved in a situation, even if it's self-defense, chances are you will be detained. You're not going to be arrested. The difference. Being detained and arrested is different.
Right.
So I got right here in front of me six things you didn't know that will happen when the police arrive. And, again, I'm not going to stay on top of it. We can always come back to it after starts, but I wanted to kind of wrap up the CCW part because this is really important. So, number one, you will be detained and possibly arrested, right? Depends on how clean it depends on how much gray area there is and there isn't in your situation. You know,
right.
A clear, cut, understandable self-defense, then bam, more than likely you'd be detained for questioning. But if it's not, folks, remember, you committed a crime. You shot someone. You killed someone. You're going to be arrested or possibly detained. Number two, your gun will likely be seized and held as evidence. I tell this to a lot of my students that come into my class that have all these super fancy guns that with all these tactical stuff on it, that have the Glock whatever, the CZ whatever, the FN whatever. Folks, pick your concealed carry gun wisely. Don't let your $1,500 gun be your concealed gun. That's my recommendation. Get a very reliable shooter. As much as I give them a hard time because this, you know, that's what me and E do, Smith & Wesson, Glock, you know, very reliable firearms. They have great Springfield. Get you a really solid firearm and try to minimize customizing that firearm because the more you customize the firearm, you're throwing dollars there. And if you have to use that firearm in a self-defense case, guess what? Depending on what state you are, what county you're in, they're definitely taking your firearm, and you may not get it back. All right? So your gun will be seized and held as evidence. Number three, you will likely be interrogated at the scene at the police department. Guess what, folks? At the scene, a couple things you need to say. I feared for my life. Okay, that's the only time you should be drawing your firearm and pulling, right? I feared for my life. I'm not saying a word. I am willing to cooperate, but not until I speak to my lawyer. I feared for my life. I'm willing to cooperate, but not until I speak with my lawyer. That's it. Don't say nothing else. That cop in front of you may say, well, you know what, ma'am? I would have done the same thing. Tell me what happened. Some states, they do not have to read you a Miranda before they start that process. Okay? Keep that in mind. So I feared for my life. I'm willing to cooperate, but not until my lawyer is here. All right? And then number four, if you don't already have one, you will need to hire an attorney and fast. That I go back to that concealed carry insurance. I don't have one on retainer. Kia don't have one on retainer, which I think she got one on retainer. Kia fancy. But
whatever,
that's where that concealed carry insurance, that's where that concealed carry insurance come in. You may have to post or pay bond. Guess what, folks? It's going to cost you. But if you have that CCW insurance, concealed carry insurance, more than likely, they'll take care of it for you. Do your research when you pick your concealed carry insurance. And number six, the DA will gather police reports to make a charging decision. They're going to gather police reports. Folks, when a cop speaks to you at the scene, guess what they're doing? They're writing all that information down. Hey, Ms. Johnson, that was a good shoot. So what'd you do? Well, he kicked in my door, and I shot him as he ran away. Oh, that's what I would have did too, wrote it down. That's part of the police report. Even though the cop thought it was a good idea, guess what? The DA and the cop, two different things. You know, the DA's job is to take everything the cop wrote down in their police report and decipher that. And guess what? They're not in the moment. The cop is there after the moment, and you're in the moment. See how far apart that timing is? So now they get to actually see the end result of a situation. So, again, folks, those are the six things that you didn't know that would happen when the police arrive. Look up your concealed carry insurance. Do your research. Don't look at the first one, say, I love it, and then purchase. Do your research. Make sure it fits for you, because they all don't – there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to concealed carry insurance, all right? And then, Sarge, I'm going to toss it over to you, sir. I am going to toss it over to Sarge.
Sarge, before you get started, Sarge, I want you to introduce yourself. Tell everybody, give everybody your resume, your rap. Tell everybody everything, you know, what's your background?
Well, briefly, I am a natural-born citizen of the United States, grateful to be a citizen of the United States. Notice I didn't say proud. I said grateful, because I didn't have nothing to do with being born here. But having said that, I spent a good deal of my life in service to both the United States and the state in which I lived. I was a soldier during the Vietnam War. I enlisted. I went to Vietnam, served in Vietnam in one unit as a tank commander with an armored unit, another one with a mechanized infantry unit as a squad leader. After Vietnam, I went to Germany, came back out, started an auto repair shop with an Army buddy of mine. I'm also an accomplished automobile mechanic. I then joined the National Guard, stayed in the National Guard for 26 years. I got called up for Operation Iraqi Freedom and the First Gulf War, so I got involved in those two. And I was a police officer, Illinois State policeman, for 26 years in and around, working mainly in and around Chicago and Cook County. SWAT team, certified firearms instructor, instructor generally, and I was also a radio talk show host with one of the great conservatives in Illinois, a gentleman named Tom Roser, on his program on WLS AM 890 in Chicago. I don't know how I avoided being fired for some of the political statements I made, even though I didn't represent myself as a representative.
I knew you had been on the radio before, Sarge. I knew you were too comfortable caller. I knew you were too comfortable. I knew you'd been on some kind of radio or something.
Yeah, well, I was fairly well known in the Chicago area, and I eventually became endorsed. I managed to get through it all without getting fired, so, you know, I guess it must have worked out okay for me. And I'd like to add, piggyback on what Elliot just said earlier. Yes, if you doubt one of the most famous real-life examples
I
can
give. I am way cooler than Elliot. This is Dwayne, Sarge, okay? I'm way cooler than Elliot. Elliot's cool, but I'm way cooler, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Elliot's cool.
I stand corrected.
But he's not here to defend himself right
now. But
you did
give good advice because
the
most famous incident I can think of where what you said absolutely came true was the George Zimmerman case, where the district attorney, the state's attorney in Florida, cleared him of any wrongdoing, and then a political prosecution was subsequently led against him. They will definitely confiscate your gun because it's essential evidence to determine that, in fact, your firearm did, in fact, either do the shooting or kill the person. It's got to be determined whether or not that firearm that, you know, that, you know, either you tell them or appears to be in evidence as the one does. It is essential that be determined ballistically and by other evidence, you know, that you're the owner, you were registered to it or whatever.
Right.
And there, and police officers in most states, certainly in Illinois, are free to lie to you to elicit confessions. I did it. I arrested a guy for burglary. I didn't have anything on him really other than, you know, some sketchy eyewitnesses. And I didn't think they were reliable, so I just went next door, got a blank VHS tape, slammed it on the table, said, look, we got you right here on this tape. Now, you're a three-time loser. What you can do is cooperate with us right now. I'll tell the state's attorney, maybe he'll cut you some slack. And I got a confession, and it was perfectly legal. I lied. Police officers can generally, in most states, lie to you. So just keep that in mind when you get a shooting and they're conducting your investigation. You don't lie. You can't lie, but they can.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Well, that's,
hey,
wow.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
Okay.
So
yes, sir.
I also heard, too, that not only can they lie to get a confession, but let's say they can keep you there, and the best way to find out if you're being arrested is from what I was told, is you ask them, hey, can I leave? And if they tell you no, chances are you're going to be arrested, right? But if you're not going to be arrested, technically you could leave. Is that true?
Well, Illinois has a statutory limit on the amount of time they can hold you without formally arresting you and charging you with something. It's 72 or 76 hours. That's the range in which it's in. They can't hold you long that without, you know,
that's a
doing
long
it. That's
time.
The maximum length they can hold you. That's the maximum now, and usually it isn't that long. I'm not saying statutorily that's the most amount of time they can hold you. They have a right to detain you for investigative purposes. I mean, it's clear. That's pretty well established. But you can always ask them, am I under arrest? And they can say, no, you're not under arrest, but you're being detained. You have to stay here until we conduct a preliminary investigation. So, you know, I mean, it is a form of arrest, but it's not quite an arrest. You know, so it's kind of a gray area. But, yes, police do have the right to detain you for a period of time to conduct a reasonable investigation.
Now, for
it's
my
kind of like
the
thing with searches and seizures. Searches and seizures
are
okay provided they're reasonable. Reasonable searches or searches with a warrant or exigent circumstances, as they call them.
Okay. For my listeners that don't know, Sarge, if I'm being detained, right, at the end of me being detained and they say, hey, Mr. Haynes, you're free to go, do I have a record or do I not have a record? Have they taken my fingerprints, mugshots, as it's called, or no, not when you're detained?
They're not going to take your pictures and mugshots unless you're actually going to be arrested and charged with a crime. There's going to be a police report of an incident like that, surely. They're going to give it a case number. It's going to be put in the investigative files and or the record department files. You can call it record, but the RD number, and it's going to be part of the record, the official record. If you're being detained, I can almost bloody well guarantee you, they're going to keep a record of the incident to the extent detailing many, if not all, of the actions that were taken with regard to you and your detention.
Okay.
Now
what does that mean
you're not going to be fingerprinted and mugshot unless you're being arrested. and you're going to be charged with a crime. Then you know what the nature of the charges are against you. Certainly your lawyer will, if and when your lawyer gets there.
Okay.
And by the way, if you try to leave before the officer conducts their reasonable detention, they can charge you with obstruction of justice. If you try just to leave and they got to put their hands on you, you know, to keep you from leaving, they can charge you with obstruction of justice.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, it depends on the state, though. You know, I'm speaking of my experience in Illinois. Different states different restrictions on police. So you really got to look at every single law, even though there's a general bottom line floor. The Constitution and common law rulings by the Supreme Court form the floor below which no jurisdiction can go. However, having said that, many jurisdictions give more protections to detainees and arrestees. So you got to look at your state to determine what that floor is, because they got different state constitutions, they got different state statutes. That's the whole purpose of federalism. They have different jurisdictions with different types of laws and rights. Hell, even police officers aren't always familiar with all of them. Hell, I've gone to state attorneys. And, hey, aren't you aware? Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm just so full of knowledge.
Oh, well, you learn a thing or two. And I never went to law school, but good God, you know. Police work can be very boring. You sit around waiting to go to court. When on the relatively few cases that actually go to trial? Because most of these guys are multiple losers, 2- and 3-time losers, and they don't want to do a lot of things. They know they're going to get convicted. More likely than not, they go to court. So they plea bargain. They cop a plea. But on the relatively rare times you go to court for something, you're sitting around waiting to get called up for the case. You know, you're just sitting there waiting, and you get called in the courtroom, you get interviewed or you get examined by the state's attorney asking about your arrest, and then the defense attorney gets a chance to cross-examine you, and boom, then you're out. You've been sitting around for 2-3 hours waiting for your turn to go up and testify. Sometimes you don't. But you learn a few things about lawyers and the way they operate. I guarantee bloody to you, you will. It's almost like a better course in the law than is a law degree. Sitting around court and watching what goes on in the courtroom. And sometimes it's beyond bizarre.
Are you telling me Sarge lawyers aren't my friends? That's what you're telling me? I thought they were my friends.
They can be now. You got a good defense attorney, that could be your best friend you got. Trust me.
Yeah.
But if you got a good prosecutor who's got good cops and know how to collect evidence, ensure the chain of custody, and know what is relevant to the elements of offense necessary to convict a suspect, then that lawyer is your worst possible enemy.
Hmm.
So it depends on what the person in your relationship to that lawyer is.
Okay.
So sorry.
And remember,
I
it's like anything
that,
else. You know, anything the police do, they've got to prove every element of the offense if it goes to trial. And then they got to show how those elements of the offense relate to you and your arrest and your circumstances.
Right. And
so
sorry.
I'd like to refer you to George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman is the most famous case I can think of. Do you realize that in the George Zimmerman case, Benjamin Crump, literally, and I'm telling you, this is when I found out about this, I was utterly astonished. Benjamin Crump manufactured a counterfeit or witness to get both the indictment from the grand jury and her testimony in trial. Remember Rachel Jontel? Remember her?
Yeah.
The one said she couldn't write cursive. Well, that woman was not on the phone with Trayvon Martin that night. It was her half-sister, a woman named Diamond Eugene. She was the one on the phone. She was the one who wrote the letter to Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon Martin's mother. They couldn't get Diamond Eugene because she didn't want to be associated with all this. She fled town. She skipped town. She didn't want to be associated. They couldn't find her. So they took her half-sister and put her in a trial. If you doubt me, there's a documentary that's available on Netflix and a couple other places called The Trayvon Hoax. Watch it. You will be astonished. This man collected hundreds of pages of Trayvon Martin's phone calls between him and a whole bunch of his associates. hundreds of pages that show GPS coordinates, times, dates, everything over a period of months. And it is clear that Rachel Jontel was not Trayvon Martin's girlfriend. They literally manufactured a witness, a counterfeit witness. I've never heard of that in any major case ever in my entire life, and they got away with it.
So, Sarge, now let's redirect to, I know Elliot was telling me about some other stuff that you were talking about, some cases that were coming down and about our Second Amendment rights. What's going on with that? Tell me a little bit more about that, too.
A couple of areas I'd hope to go into tonight, and I'll let you pick the priority in which we take them, because that's always your show, and I'll let you pick which one you think might be more interesting. Number one, I wanted to talk about the newly emerging case or cases or thesis or proposition that the Second Amendment, they're going to try to apply the 1619 Project to the Second Amendment and saying the Second Amendment was rooted in slavery and racism and white supremacy. This is a growing trend among black intellectual scholars and radical white liberals. The attempt to link the Second Amendment, its creation and its origins, to slavery, white supremacy, and racism. And the other thing I want to talk about was the ruling, which I think you're speaking of, by Judge Benitez on the Ninth Circuit that the California Assault Weapons Control Act is unconstitutional. And he wrote a ringing defense of the right to keep and bear arms and the Second Amendment. I would have written something similar if I had been a judge. That's how good
and
it was.
They're trying to repeal that now, right? They're trying to repeal that now.
The Attorney General of California is most definitely going to appeal it. So is the governor. They've already stated their intention to do so. What the judge did, learning from past rulings along these lines, was to issue a 30-day stay of his own injunction to give the Attorney General Becerra in California, another nutcase, gun-grabbing Marxist liberal, a chance to appeal the judge's ruling. So he automatically put a stay on his own injunction. They got 30 days to appeal it. And I guarantee you, they are going to appeal it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they are.
Yeah, but the judge made a ringing an absolutely unequivocal observation of the Second Amendment. I mean, it was stirring. I mean, all I could say was, you go, boy, because you got it down. Everything. He didn't miss a beat. With the right to keep and bear arms and the relationship in particular of so-called assault weapons to their relationship to the citizen service in a well-regulated militia that is necessary to the security of free state. It was absolutely brilliant. It really was.
He started off with
the Heller decision and the McDonald decision, and he related both of them to why this particular law by California was unconstitutional. And he went further. He even went back to the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Miller decision, oddly enough. It was another gentleman named Miller in the 1939 case, Miller versus United States. And in that one, he even made reference to that. So it was really a wonderful thing. But, like, I'd like to really talk about this thing they're trying to do now with linking the Second Amendment to racism and white supremacy. It's really insidious. It's god-awful insidious. And you know what's ironic about it? What really is ironic about it, and it has to do with the Dred Scott decision. And Dred Scott, Justice Roger Taney in the Dred Scott decision wrote this, and this is an excerpt from his ruling. He said, the question is simply this. Can a Negro, whose ancestors were imported into this country and sold as slaves, become a member of the political community formed and brought into existence by the Constitution of the United States, and as such become entitled to all the rights and privileges and immunities guaranteed by that instrument to the citizen? One of its rights is the privilege of suing in a court of the United States in the cases specified in the Constitution. Now, listen to this. This is what really gets. He's talking about what the Constitution would grant to blacks, if this if the plaintiff's complaint was allowed to stand. It would give to persons of the Negro race who are recognized as citizens in any one state of the Union the right to enter every other state whenever they please, singly or in companies, without pass or passport, and without obstruction, to sojourn there as long as they please, to go where they please at every hour of the day or night without molestation, unless they committed some violation of law for which a white man would be punished. And it would give them the full liberty of speech in public and in private upon all subjects upon which its own citizens might speak, to hold public meetings upon political affairs, and now wait for it. This is the money shot. Are you listening?
We're listening. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
And to keep and bear arms wherever they went. That is right from Justice Taney, who ruled against Dred Scott, in saying he had no rights a white man was expected to expect. I find it ironic that the people attempting to attenuate the Second Amendment and weaken it by saying it was inspired by racism, slavery, and white supremacy, I find it ironic that they are actually weakening those rights for black people and all people of today, given the fact that a Supreme Court decision literally helped to set this country on the road to civil war involving those very rights of black Americans. Stunning to me. And it's like they've come for the Second Amendment, and this one particular scholar, a woman named Carol Anderson, who's the Charles Howard Candler Professor of African American Studies at Emory University. She authored a piece in The Guardian that posits this notion. And it's utterly corrupt and absolutely wrong. And this is going to be a newly emerging controversy in the battlefield over the Second Amendment. Because, you know,
I find amazing, Sarge, is all these years, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, the Second Amendment, you know, hey, people want to attack it and they want to do, and it's never come up that way. Now, you know, there's a lot of articles out on Washington Post and other places where they're saying, you know, more African Americans are purchasing firearms, are getting trained, and now all of a sudden the Second Amendment right is racist. Now, I'm going to tell you, things like that make me very suspicious, because out of all the things, they could have said this years ago when they were trying to take away gun rights and you know, do all kinds of legislative things. They never said that. The moment there's an article out about, you know, hey, now more minorities are saying, hey, no, wait a minute, I do need a firearm. Oh, yeah, this is my right as an American citizen. Yes, I am going to own one. And the numbers skyrocket, and now all of a sudden the Second Amendment is rooted in slavery. I find that very disturbing.
Well,
let's take a look at what this woman, Carol Anderson, wrote. Now, this is a quote from the book. In short, James Madison, the Virginian, and James Madison, I'm sure you know, is widely regarded as the principal father of the Constitution. You know, when they were arguing Federalists and Anti-Federalism and Federalist Papers, you know, they had Federalists on one side and the Anti-Federalists on another. Well, John Jay, Alexander Hamilton, and James Madison were the three most prominent Federalists. Anyway, she says James Madison, the Virginian, well, he also was the fourth president of the United States, or the fifth, I forget which. But James Madison, the Virginian, knew that the militia's prime function in his state and throughout the South was slave control. Now, that's a lie right there. I mean, but she wrote it. See, and remember, the whole idea behind this is just guilt by association, just like it is when they made the claim, the 1619 Project allegedly proved that the United States was founded on racism and white supremacy, and that's supposed to shut you up, because we all know of the country's unfortunate incidental association. Note the word I use, incidental, not foundational, but incidental. Incidental association with slavery, white supremacy, and discrimination. But she posits it as a foundational principle, which is an utter, complete lie. You know, and it's easily proven if you just look at the historical record. The militia, she goes on, to, by the way, to disparage the militia. She says the militia was ineffective and they weren't any good at fighting and they didn't do it. And there's a kernel of truth in it. But, of course, she utterly neglects to mention that the first victory of the Revolutionary War was at Lexington and Concord when the militia, the Minutemen, turned back a British battalion that had come there to seize the arms and the powder. You know, they got in a running gun battle with the British all the way from Lexington and Concord back to Boston and thoroughly defeated them. You know, militia farmers. But, you know, one thing I've noticed about leftists is that they are never, never deterred by facts in history. Never. Only to the extent they can use it to distort the record. That's it. That's it for them.
So hold on one second, Sarge. Hold on one second. Dwayne.
Yeah. I'm taking
what
it
do you
in.
Think about, what do you think? Please tell me what you think about this stuff. what do you think about
I'm
this, Dwayne?
All in. So my thing is convenience, right? I'm a firm believer in sometimes we hurt ourselves as a community when we ask for certain things, right? Because it's going to come back and bite us in the butt. We use the same conversation or the same tactic as a black community to get our way, I guess. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, with other things. And we get our way, or it turns out in our favor. Now, here it comes back around again, and we're growing as a community when it comes down to us owning firearms for self-protection. We're no longer doing stuff the crazy way, right? We're no longer going out and getting firearms illegally. We're on the books getting firearms legally. We're doing it the right way. We're getting the training. The instructors, we have a huge growth. The black instructors are growing. The community of black instructors are growing. So we're doing everything the right way. So now they're using our same conversation right against us. You know, I think it comes down to we got to be careful when we throw things out there as a community because it's going to come back and bite us in the
butt. Michigan Senator Jacob Howard, who along with Representative Bingham is considered the two authors of the 14th Amendment, which we all know gave any person in any citizen of any state the same rights and privileges as every other citizen. And when he introduced the Second Amendment on the debate on the floor of Congress involving the 14th Amendment and its adoption, this is what he said. He was ensuring that the constitutional rights of blacks in the South were protected, and he specifically pointed to, and I'm quoting, the personal rights guaranteed and secured by the first 8 amendments to the Constitution, as in the freedom of speech and of the press and the right to keep and bear arms. Civil rights leaders of the 19th and early 20th centuries also lamented that the right to self-defense was denied them. Frederick Douglass reacted to the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 by saying in an editorial that the best remedy would be, quote, a good revolver, a steady hand, and a determination to shoot down any man attempting to kidnap, end quote. The late 19th century civil rights leader Ida B. Wells said and argued regularly that one of the lessons of the post-Civil War era, quote, which every Afro-American, and that's the word she used, it's a direct quote, which every Afro-American should ponder well, is that a Winchester rifle should have a place of honor in every black home, and it should be used for that protection which the law refuses to give. T. Thomas Fortune, another black civil rights activist of the era, said that it was with a Winchester that the black man could, quote, defend his home and children and wife, unquote. You know, people like Carol Anderson, abysmally either deceptive, ignorant, or a combination of both.
Wow.
But it's coming. It's coming after your Second Amendment, and they're going to try to shame you out of your Second Amendment by telling you, hey, you're exercising a right that slave owners and slave masters wanted to use to keep the black man subjugated. That's what they're trying to convince
you. You know what's so sad is that you said it earlier, it's led by the one group, but then those elitist black, right? And it's sad because they're going to find a way, and it's not hard. I hate to admit it, but folks, we do this to ourselves. It's not hard at all for us to, it's not hard at all for us to end up just falling in line, right? They're going to word all of that. It's going to be advertised. They're going to get celebrities to jump on that, or black celebrities, you know, the big names, the popular ones that these kids love. And they're going to phrase that in a way that we're going to go along with it. And next thing you know, it starts with these so-called assault rifles, because not yet have they defined what an assault rifle is, or people's not taking the time to look up what assault rifle really means. Or the assault
rifle
in that term, what it really means,
You forgot about the AR-14. The AR-14. That's what it is. Let me stop.
Right, yeah.
You know, but they're gonna
even to the point where they say AR stands for assault rifle, when actuality is short for Armalite, who was the original firm that originally manufactured the firearm.
Folks, for those of you that are listening, pay attention, and when something seems so good and it's coming from a particular group of people, here we are, we've been saying our whole all these generations saying, hey, we want to get this away because it's from slavery. We want to pull this out because it's from slavery. And just like Kia said earlier, why all of a sudden this is being brought up tied into the Second Amendment? School shootings have always happened, folks. Mass shootings have always happened. This is nothing new. They're putting it out there like, hey, this is the highest it's ever been. Mass shootings has always happened. Focus. Pay attention. It is now that us as a black community, we're purchasing more firearms. Yes. We're purchasing different types of firearms. Before, we used to just buy the handgun, right? Now we're buying handguns, assault rifles. They're not assault rifles. We're buying AR platforms, right? We're buying regular rifles. We're buying shotguns. We're buying everything that they buy. And now all of a sudden it's, Second Amendment is linked towards slavery. That makes no sense to me. Folks, pay attention. Be careful what we ask for, because it's going to come in a different form, and it's going to be packaged so pretty with a nice pink bow on top, and we're going to open it up, and then it's going to unravel right in front of us. But then at that point, it's going to be too late.
Well, listen to this lurid description that Carol Anderson decides to put as she tries to denigrate the right to keep and bear arms. She says, bodies are piling up all over the Second Amendment as two of America's pandemics converge. Isn't that a neat bit of association? She goes on to say, the, quote, plague of gun violence, unquote, and the inability to mount an effective response, even in the wake of multiple mass shootings, is unfortunately rooted in the other pandemic gripping the United States, anti-blackness, and the sense that African-Americans are a dangerous threat that can only be neutralized or stopped by a well-armed white citizenry. I would beg to differ with you, Ms. Anderson, by telling you the bodies are piling up all over the great society that Lyndon Johnson instituted in 1965, that led to a great deal of the destruction of the two-parent black nuclear family. But of course, you being a liberal who wants more government, you would never make that association.
Yeah.
Wow. Sarge, as always, we really appreciate you for, you know, stepping in and schooling us and educating us. We're going to definitely have you back up. We're going to have a Sarge Hour. I mean, you have to be able to dump your knowledge and be able to school us, because I'm going to tell you what, with so many things going on, out in the world today, it's very difficult for to keep up with every single thing. And it's like, I'm like, say what now? You know, what? And I'm looking it up on the internet trying to figure it out, but it's just so, like, I cannot believe it. So I'll be doing some more research about this. But thank you so much for all of your wisdom and your knowledge that you bestow upon us. Because I'm telling you, you school us every time you call. So.
Well, it is my pleasure. I think I have an obligation. What do the liberals always give back? I think I need to give back what I know to people who can who would appreciate, make use of it, and to counter the massive demagoguery and lies by the other side about these matters. And if I come back on next time, I'd like to be able to go over that issue with the AR-15 specifically and why Judge Benitez's ruling was so on point, proper, and absolutely correct. It's not just a matter of, August, our side got to win. It goes fundamentally to the major precepts upon which this nation was founded. Really,
we're gonna definitely get you back on here. So you can school us some more. We're gonna give you, and we're gonna jump into that and tackle that. So definitely, again,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. We'll give you another hand clap. Where's the hand clap, Dwayne?
I got you. Let's get it, Sarge. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our sounding.
Thank you so much, Sarge. We so appreciate
only,
you.
The myth, the legend, the one in the shadows that sees it all. Sarge, and so thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Sarge. All right.
We absolutely love when Sarge come on, folks. He's always a blast. He's always still giving us those gems, man. Folks, what I learned from our segment with Sarge today was we got to pay attention. We got to be careful what we wish for, right? We definitely got to be careful what we wish for. And what we put out there in the universe, especially as a black community, because we can't be so blinded by the there's a movie called The Box. Have you ever heard of that movie, Kia?
Uh-huh.
It's called The Box,
uh-huh.
Right? And this movie, I don't remember the actors in the movie, it don't really matter. But the whole premise of the movie is you have something going on. Your kid is dying or something, you just have a situation going on and you need help. And you cry out to the universe, you say, hey, I need help. And then guess what? This box shows up with this man carrying it. And he asks you, what do you need help with? And you tell him and you get it, right? We don't even question what's in the box. We don't even care we don't even question anything about it. All we know is that our son that was dying, our community that's on fire, the racism ends, we get that back. And then a year, two, 3 years later, guess what? The box goes to somebody else, and they ask for something. But what they ask for impacts you, and you don't even know why.
So, right.
There's no such thing as we're going to get what we want without consequence.
Without consequence.
We're not.
That's right.
No, we are black in this country called America, and it doesn't always play in our favor. You know, we're out here to drive commerce for this country. We got to always remember that. So be careful what we ask for. Pay attention. Get out. Some states right now, I believe, some county states, whatever. There's voting going on with different local roles of government. Get out there. Vote. We whine too much about people voting, not voting when it comes down to the presidential stuff. That's minuscule. That's tiny dot. Go out there, vote. Go out there, advocate for what you believe in. And when someone offers you a solution, dissect it. Dissect the hell out of it. Read the fine print. Dissect the fine print. Read the finer print. Dissect that and then tie it all together and then hand it off to some of your people and let them do the exact same thing. And then give it
and
back to the person.
Stop straight party voting, please.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you said that last. Stop that nonsense. You know, as a people, we need to, after we dissect everything, we toss it back to whoever gave it to us. As a people now, we need to say, hey, does this work or does it not? And so much, we quickly say, yes, it works. And guess what? I'm going to call Kia and be like, yo, Kia, I just read this document. It's fire. You should do it. Not once am I saying, hey, Kia, I just read this document. Let me send it over to you. You read it. And after we're done reading it, let's talk about it. We're trying to influence each other before the other person. Now, Kia is going to say, you know what, D, because you liked it, I'm going to like it. I know it. I'm just going to go ahead and send that over to my family. We're not taking the time on reading the fine print separately and then coming together and dissecting it and then saying, hey, this don't work for us.
Not only that, you know, I encourage even we have family Zoom calls, and I encourage people our community especially to get involved before voting takes place. So we're always in the mm-hmm. position where we have to choose, right, what's been put out there for you to choose, okay? So how about finding that person that you want to get behind, supporting them, helping them get the votes they need and all of the support they need, and pushing them because they are the ones that happen to support what you support. So you have to get involved before it's time to vote. You have to get involved and support these people and start kind of doing your research on who's in your community, who's interested, and trying to encourage these folks that are in line with what's important to you and your family to run in the first place instead of waiting until the primaries are over, everything's done, and this is who you have to choose between. I hated hearing those people, oh, you got to choose the lesser of two evils. No, we shouldn't have to be in that position. We should be pushing the people that we want to the top so we don't have to pick less of two evils. And that's what we are. We're always behind the eight ball as a community because we're always choosing what someone else is giving us to choose from.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Kia, that was a lot. That was a lot. I love it, though. We need it as a community. These are conversations that we need to hear. You know, we need to hear from the other side, whether it's positive, not positive, but every conversation is positive, right? Or whether it's pro, whether it's the pros and cons. So let's get back to firearm safety. You know, this is firearm safety week.
Yeah, so what else is going on out there?
So what's going on? You know, we already touched base on safety around kids, right? Be safe around the babies with the firearms. If there's a negligent discharge, folks, that is on you. Own it. Guns do not go off accidentally. If your gun goes off accidentally, guess what? You may have a... Are you telling me that you're willing to stand up in court and you know, that's going to be a great lawsuit to the manufacturer if that's the case, but I promise you that's not how it's going to work. That's not how it's going to pan out. Guns only go off due to negligence. Some part is negligent.
Well, you know the lady, have you seen the video yet, Dwayne, about the lady who shot her 5-year-old because she was trying to shoot a dog?
You know, no, I have not seen that video. And there's another one with a gentleman. That's so sad that these are supposed to be responsible gun owners, right? I haven't seen that video, but there's another one out there. It's a story where the father shot his son because they were busy playing with a firearm. So what are we doing? So tell me a little bit about that video that you saw and how can we break that down?
So basically, the neighbor's dog broke right out the house like my dog does so often. When you open the door, the dog shoots out past you. And the dog was just kind of like running around playing in the yard or whatever. I don't know the backstory where the dog was a nuisance in the past or whatever. But the lady, her 5-year-old was playing. The dog was not attacking or being aggressive to the child. I think that maybe someone has said in one of the comment section that maybe she was afraid of dogs. So she pulls out her gun, shoots at the dog, and missed the dog because, of course, a dog is a moving target. And shoots her son, her 5-year-old instead.
So here's my take on that, folks. Is she wrong for shooting at the dog? No. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I'm a pet lover. I have a pet. Is she wrong for shooting at the dog? At that time, she don't know the intent of that dog. She heard her baby scream, and she saw a dog, shot at the dog. Here's where I think she went wrong. Firearm safety 101. Does she know her target and what's beyond it in front of it? Her kid was in the line of fire, and she disregarded that. She went black, right? Color code black. She froze up. That's freezing up. She didn't follow her training. She probably didn't have any training. She shot in the direction of her kid, which is a no-no. Even if that was a grown person grabbing her kid, do you shoot at that grown person? If someone grab your kid and take off in a car, do you do what you see in the movies, what you see they do in the movies, and you shoot out the tires? Your kid is in the car. Do you start busting shots, as they would say, through the windshield? No. Things ricochet. So that right there, I won't fault her for trying to defend her kid against a dog, but I definitely would say that if not, she lacked the highest level of common sense because she shot in the direction of her baby. And you said it, Kia, at a moving target. Folks, moving targets are incredibly hard to shoot. especially unpredictable moving targets. When you're at the range and you have that target going left, going right, going left, going right, guess what you can do? You can pre-time that target. When you have a moving target, that's a real thing. You can't time that where it's going to be next. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. That's very, very unfortunate. I know that's must be hard, but folks, that's what we always say. Get training. Get training, and not just what I call undergun training, but common sense, you know, training that definitely shows you higher level of common, helps you with a higher level of common sense, you know. That's very unfortunate. The one I was talking about, the guy, he was just straight up playing with his firearm with his kid. He had his gun playing with it with his kid. He, I guess he pointed at his son, pulled the trigger. I guess they were playing guns. I don't know what the hell they were playing. And the gun went off, hit the kid in the chest. He called 911, and guess what he did? He told 911 that the kid did it. The kid, my son, shot himself.
Wow.
911 came. Wow. The only reason it got out that he shot his son was the younger son saw it all and pretty much was like, my daddy shot my brother or something like that. If it wasn't for that, this kid would have been, I want to say he didn't die, so thank God the kid lived. But if it wasn't for that younger brother that saw everything, this kid would have had an incident that he would have probably blamed himself for the rest of his life, you know, because the dad wanted to be irresponsible. So what do you think of that case, Kia? Break that down for me. I'm playing on my firearm with my kid. Where's all the loopholes there?
There's
a whole ton of them.
First of all, I told you before, we don't play with firearms, you know, in my home. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, we drill these rules, right, into everybody's head, especially our students that we, you know, that we teach. And that is never point your firearm at anything you're not willing to destroy. I would never, ever point a firearm at my child. I don't care if I knew for a fact it was clear. I would not do that because accidents happen. And I can even know that there's no magazine in it. It could be open clear. The breech could be open. And I could know for a fact. I still wouldn't point it at my kid. And I don't understand people playing with real firearms. There's Nerf guns. There's all kinds of things you can play with your kid
right?
with. Why are you playing with your kid with a real gun?
Yeah.
I think that
is
so,
very, very unfortunate.
So irresponsible. And I can't even see the logic in it, like, at all. Logically, I don't see how it can even be something that a parent would want to do.
Yeah,
really.
And the biggest thing, and you said a parent. He needs training. You know, he's definitely going to do a lot of time, and I hope he definitely learned his lesson. But in a situation like that, the things that definitely stand out to me is every single rule was broken, right? Every single rule was broken. Finger on the trigger. Folks, we don't put our finger on the trigger until we're ready to shoot, right? Guns are not toys. We don't play with guns, unless they're Nerf guns, right? Water guns. We play with those. But we don't play with any type of training toys. You're training, right? So they're not toys. He didn't know his target, what was behind it. Right, I'm assuming that because he had a second kid. What if he was using a full metal and it went through one kid and hit the other? Man, would have been a crazier story. It's already a crazy story, but damn. Number two, he didn't clear his firearm before he did anything. Before he did anything, folks. I know last week we said, you know, we don't lock up our defensive firearms. Those are defensive firearms. Just because we don't lock them up, that don't mean they're not put in safe places. They're definitely put in safe places, right? But your firearms that, for any reason, you don't lock up or you put on your nightstand because you just came in, clear them. Guys, don't be irresponsible. Clear them. You have a buddy or friend that say, hey, what kind of gun is that? Oh, yeah, it's this gun. Before you hand your firearm over to anyone, do yourself a favor. Do them a favor. Do the people outside of your walls a favor because bullets go through walls. Clear your gun. Be responsible. Clear it. Don't just drop the magazine. Clear it. So I know, Kia, there's this awesome video that's on this incredible social media platform, folks. It is on Point Blank's website. Not website, but Point Blank Instagram. Go check it out. I'm not going to tell you any. Again, go check it out. It's on Point Blank Instagram. And it shows this awesome young lady showing you how to clear your firearm. So, Kia, what's the steps? I don't know how to clear my firearm. I have a firearm in front of me right now. Right? It's a training pistol. And it has every single thing that the real firearm has, right? And it's in front of me. I'm pointing in the same direction. It's a training pistol. Walk me through it. How do I clear this?
So first,
the very first thing you want to do
is definitely drop your magazine. So remove the magazine from the firearm. That's number one.
Got it. Removed.
So after you, and then so your gun is still not clear because there might be one in the chamber. So you want to pull back the slide. And, you know, just like this young lady on the video, I always pull my slide like two or three times to make sure.
Okay.
And then as long as you're in a safe location and a safe place and your gun is pointing in a safe direction, pull the trigger.
Okay.
So now you know that your firearm is clear.
Okay. That's it. Folks, how long did that just take me? And again, I'm using a Glock 19 Airsoft replica as my training tool. And even though it's a training tool, there's never been any type of – it's an airsoft gun. There's never been any type of rounds or BBs, whatever it's called, going down that. But I still check it. And that's a training tool. Imagine what we do with our live firearms. Folks, it is that simple. 3 seconds. Drop the source. That's the magazine. Clear the chamber. Pull that slide 3 or 4 times back. I like to lock the slide back, put my finger in there to, you know, visually verify. And I physically verify there's nothing in the chamber. And Kia added a nice little twist. She pulls the trigger pointing in a safe direction. I don't pull the trigger. Because that's me personally. Everybody does that. Some people do it, some people don't. I personally don't pull the trigger at the very end. It's wired ingrained in me to not pull the trigger in my house. But at demonstration, I did just pull the trigger, but I was pointed in a very safe direction. But folks, it is that simple. Clear your firearm. Now, Kia, I'm cleaning my firearm. Where do I put my live magazine, my hot magazine?
Somewhere else, in another room.
In another room.
Another area, not near you where you're cleaning your gun, for sure.
Okay. I'm going to play a quick game with you, Kia. I want to see if your answers change, and I want our listeners to really pay attention. All right.
Okay.
I come home, I take my gun off, and I put it on a nightstand. How do I clear my gun? Do I clear my gun?
Well, first of all, you said you take your gun off when you come home. From work?
Yeah. I came home from work, and my kids are in the house. I take my firearm, and I put it right on my nightstand in my living room.
Why would you take it off and put it on your nightstand?
See? There you go, folks. Why? What's the point?
You still have to keep that on
and
you.
And it's on my nightstand.
You still have to keep that on you at all times. So what if someone breaks into your home while you're in the kitchen?
All right. So Kia is a firm believer in if you're going to conceal. I love it. I love it.
I mean,
okay. No, I agree. I agree. If you conceal, be prepared. Again, that's what I said earlier. You're going between that yellow and that white when you're at home, right? Right there, Kia's telling me that she's more like, hey, I'm in that yellow orange. I don't know that yellow white part you're talking about, Dwayne. I'm in that yellow orange, ready to go. Okay. Now you got to jump in the shower. What are you doing with your handgun? Are you clearing it? Not clearing it?
I'm not clearing it.
Okay.
It's going right
on.
It's on the go. It's in a safe location. And the thing is, one thing I tell everybody, even in my classes, and that is, you have to know your household, right?
There you go.
My kid, I don't have babies, right? So my daughter trains, so she knows not to touch firearms, period. So, you know, that's the one thing, and I'm going to get on my soapbox. I'm going to take Elliot's word. I'm going to step on my soapbox for just a minute. And that is, whether you agree or not agree with firearms, whether you should own them or not own them, you should still talk to your children, because your children may still have questions that just because you don't feel like it's something that you want for yourself personally, you should still talk to your children about safety. And that's because they may have questions about things that they may have heard or things they may have seen. And if you don't ever open the door for them to talk about it, then that's how they end up in, they can end up in some bad situations. But for my kid, she's not going to come in my room while I'm in the shower and touch my firearm. She's just not going to do it. So
yeah, I, like
I don't have, like, you know, but if the kid, like I say, if I had, let's just say if my niece and nephews are visiting, then that gun is going to be put away.
See, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you took it that way. I'm really happy. I was hoping you went that direction because that's kind of where you was heading last show. No, you hit it
mm-hmm.
right on the head. Like, everything changes in your household. Kia's household, her answers are going to be different from my answers. You know, that's kind of where I was going. Your answers are completely different from mine. Mine is different from Elliot's. And from every single listener, we're going to have different answers to how we lock up our firearms, right? But what should be the same is the safety around that firearm. If
mm-hmm.
your firearm is not locked up, are there kids around? Because Kia don't have kids. She has young adults, right? Is it fair to say that? Your kids are young adults. You call them kids because you're
baby.
Yeah, she's
14.
You know?
She's 14 yeah. going to high school, so, you know.
You know, young adults. I have kids, you know, so my firearms are locked up except home defense firearm. My conceal is always on me. It's on me now, you know, but I don't have a gun on my nightstand. You know, my home defense is tucked away. You know, it's out of arm's reach. Now, Kia also hit her in the head. When other kids enter into the home, what happens with that? Well, do you have back
then everything gets put away.
Yep, everything gets
yeah.
put away. Because at the end of the day, guess what? Kids will be kids. And the thing that you, when you on the peak, on the height of you being on your soapbox, Kia, I love what you said. Even if you are a household that do not believe in guns, because that's what we hear, guns. We don't hear firearms, but we hear guns. I don't like guns. I don't believe in guns. That is fine. That's your prerogative. That is okay. That's not a fault. Have a defense situation. If someone kicks in your door, how are you going to protect yourself? It does not always have to be to it with a gun. You know, that's not what we're saying. You know, guns, even the playing field, by far, gives you an advantage in most cases, but it don't have to be a gun. Is it a knife? Is it a taser? Is it pepper spray? Any of those three things, guess what? They still have to be put away, right? They can't just be out laying
right.
around. They have to be put away from kids. You know, I know there's people out there that sword collectors. Is your kid, are they still sharp? There's no difference. But the difference between all of those versus a gun, you should still have that conversation with your kid around firearm safety. How to identify a gun. How to identify, I used to say how to identify a real gun, but the way these guns are designed these days, people are getting real creative with customization. I've seen someone design a gun and made it look like a Nerf gun, so it'll be unfair to say, hey, if it looks like a toy, it is a toy, shoot, not by a long run anymore. And there's some toys that look like real guns too. But can your kid
right.
identify a firearm? And if they see it on the ground, what are they doing? Are they picking it up and saying, here you go, you dropped your gun? Or are they saying, whoa, gun, danger, let me get the closest adult? Or are they running to the closest kid? You know, you have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, and the 11-year-old spots a gun on the floor. Is that 11-year-old running to the 14-year-old and saying, hey, there's a gun on the floor? Or is that 11-year-old bypassing that 14-year-old and going straight to the adult? Those are things you want to have conversation. That's the kind of conversations you want to have with your kid. You see a gun, you do not touch it. Don't go to another kid. Go straight to an adult.
Right.
Straight to an adult and say, hey, there's a gun on the floor over there. You need to move it. You know, can your kid identify bad behavior with a firearm? And this is even with an adult. You drop your kid off at a friend's house, and the dad of that friend is in the living room playing with their gun. Can your kid identify that, hey, number one, hey, mom, dad, I went to such and such. How I went to Sam's house, and Sam's dad had his gun out on the table while I was there. Oh, did he now? Conversation. Hey,
right.
Sam's dad, why did you have your gun out? Oh, well, my son saw it, and he said that you pointed it in his direction a couple times. he didn't know that he was there, I understand, but he was on the other side of that room playing. Can your kids identify that stuff? So it's very important. You know, once you got on your soapbox and hopped off, I hopped right on mine because I'm a firm believer in firearm safety, especially when it comes down to the kids, because there's too much kids whose lives were lost or taken from us because an adult didn't do their part. You know,
right.
A lot of times
we blame the guns.
The guns don't put themselves on the floor. The guns don't load themselves. The guns don't put one in the chamber. You know what's the hardest thing for a kid to do? A kid with little hands. A kid with very little hands.
They cannot load. Yeah, they can't put one in the chamber. It's very difficult.
They cannot put one in the chamber unless they're strong. But a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, they can't put. They can barely lift that gun, number one. They can't put one in the chamber. Did you hear the story about this? I think this was sometime last year. It was so sad. They had the cops was chasing this guy, and he tossed his gun over a fence, and he kept it booking. They kept on running. And he had just robbed a store or whatever, so he tossed his gun over a fence, kept it booking. And it landed in the backyard, and these two kids found the gun. Gun was loaded, one in the chamber. And the kids didn't know. I think one was like 11. They were 11, and I forgot the other age. But the other one picked the gun up, pointed it at the other kid, and pulled the trigger, thinking it was a toy, and shot the kid, and the kid died.
Oh, wow.
So a kid shot another kid. Whose fault is that? That's not the gun's fault. A lot of times we don't want to blame who we should be blaming. We're so quick to say no guns, no guns, guns are bad. That is the deal that adult, if was caught, should be charged for murder. You know, definitely should be charged.
Yep.
Now, is that something that could have been prevented? Maybe, because we like to say, I like to think that, you know, my kids know a lot about guns. I can possibly say if those were my kids that found that gun, they weren't touching it. They were going to come right into the house and say, hey, Daddy, there's a gun outside. The same way that they would say, there's a snake outside. The same way they would say, there's such and such outside. There's a threat outside. You know, but
right.
Again, kids will be kids, and you never know. I'm going to jump off my soapbox here. You know, we're coming down. We got 8 minutes to close in, folks. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome show. Kia, thank you for, you know, getting Sarge on here, sounding off of Sarge. Just one of many segments, folks. Please call in with any kind of, recommendations or any kind of topics. You will love to hear Sarge cover, 845-241-9979. For those of you that are, you know, listening through the site, we take comments too. Comments, notes, leave it up there. Put up there, leave it in the chat, what you would love for us to cover going forward. You know, that way we love to get Sarge riled up. Sarge getting really, really wild.
And the thing is, we want to also make sure that we don't tell people what to think, right? So
no, not at
the
all.
The only way you can learn is if you are able to be open and hear everybody out to the end. So even if you have an opinion that's not in line with what we think or what we feel, we still want to hear from you because of the simple fact that the only way I think personally, and this is across the board with a lot of things going on in the world today, if people would just stop and listen and hear other people's point of view, we'd probably be a better place. So please don't think that because you may not like guns or you may feel like you may just totally disagree with us about, you know, oh, you shouldn't be teaching your kids that. We want to hear all of that because that gives us an opportunity to have a dialogue, not an argument, but a dialogue with other people that may not necessarily think like we think, but we'll be able to share information and you can share information of how you feel with us and maybe we can come to a common ground. And if not, you still are welcome to come on the show and talk about and say your piece because that's how we are. So, you know, we don't want anybody thinking that, you know, that they have to agree or have to believe what we believe. We want people of whatever your opinion, we want to hear from you. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you couldn't have said it any better. We're not here to say we're gun lovers and you suck. No, it's not we said this last week. It's not about us being gun lovers. Do we love our guns? Yes. But it's more about community than anything else. It's us saying this is our views on firearms. What are yours? Let's have a conversation. We don't have to see eye to eye. But I do want you to listen to my side or understand my side. Because guess what? I'm going to listen and understand your side, too. And then maybe we can meet somewhere in the middle. You know, it's about safety. It's about community. It's about responsibility. It's about changing the narrative and control the narrative. And the narrative around the Second Amendment, especially around the black communities, is that the ones that the black folks that have the guns, they're bad guys. And that is changing. And you can see that that is changing. Because look at all the laws that's trying to that they put it in. Look at all the huge focus on the Second Amendment. Before, the focus wasn't on the Second Amendment. The focus was on assault rifles. It went from being on assault rifles to all of a sudden it's the entire Second Amendment. How crazy is that? But that's a whole nother conversation. No, you're absolutely right, Tia. I do love what you said. You know, let's have a conversation, folks. That's what this platform is for. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk. Again, call in 845-241-9979. Don't call in now. We got 5 minutes. We about to go eat dinner. But next week, put that number in your phone. Be like Sarge. Sarge has our number on speed dial. I'm pretty sure when he opens up the phone book, we are his top spot. I know you're listening, Sarge, because he listens all the way to the end.
We like to hope so.
He just hit. Yeah, I know. I know. But yeah,
and we want to give another shout out to Elliot. We know you're probably listening. Are you going to go back and listen to the replay? We appreciate you so much and what you provide and what you contribute to. He's going to say he's being soft, but we appreciate how you contribute to Point Blank. Same thing with Dwayne, but Elliot, it's your birthday. So we want to make sure that we give you a birthday clap. Because we really appreciate you.
Yeah.
We want you to enjoy your day and have a happy birthday.
Yes. Shout out to our one and only E. Enjoy your birthday. I know if you're listening to this, you might as well have just got on. If you're going to listen, you should have just got on. I'm going to tell you that right now. So I hope you're not listening because I'll be upset. I hope you listen in the replay and then you hear me say happy birthday, bro. Happy 21st. He wish he was 21 again, right? He wish.
Times four.
Did he sprain his ankle like just moving the other day? That's what he said. He was spraining his ankle. I know what I'm going
to
get.
Thanks to everybody who supports us, who listens. Even though you don't talk, that's fine. We see that the number of people that are listening to the show. And we really appreciate it. We do want you guys to open up a little bit and just kind of have, talk. So it's not always us talking all the time. We want you guys to talk, and we want to hear your opinion too. So.
Absolutely. Folks,
what you got coming
y'all
up, Dwayne, that we could talk about for the last minute?
Oh, what I got coming up? Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'll be so busy talking about y'all. I'm forgetting to plug myself sometime. Folks.
See, that's why I did.
My wife
that's
and
why I caught you
this time. My sister, my team, you caught me off guard. We actually put together an incredible, incredible curriculum around. We're fine tuning it right now, but it's going to be around situational awareness. I can't wait to put this out there, folks. So if you're in the Virginia area, if you're just willing to travel for this awesome, awesome class, the class is going to be focused on learning, just learning some laws around how you can protect yourself. Number one. And then kind of going over the importance of situational awareness. And then we're going to get pretty hands-on, and we're going to put you through anywhere between 5 to 8 situations, everyday situations, something as simple as, how do you walk the streets? You know, when you're walking down the street, just down a, when you're walking down a strip mall, an outside strip mall, where's your hand? Where's your phone? What hand is your phone in? Is your phone in your dominant hand? Is your phone even in your hand? How much times are you looking behind you? You don't have to look behind you like you're crazy or nothing like that, be paranoid, but are you at least looking behind you once every 5 minutes? Something, what do you do? How do you move when you walk past that creepy looking van or that vehicle that has tinted windows? Are you just walking past the door or are you walking the front? Do you even look inside of it to see what's happening? Can you quickly identify people's facial features? Can you identify height, weight, race, creed, whatever? So it's going to be an awesome, awesome class. I can't wait for that class. Once we get it, I'm going to get you guys more info between the next two shows. So that's what we got working.
Well, thank you so much, and we will see you guys all next week, and we'll have some good stuff for you next week.
Yes, yes, Kia, take us out with the coming in hot. Take us out with them coming in hot.
Yep, I got it. Gotcha. Have a good night, y'all.
Good night, folks.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still
love this song,
alive.
Kia.
No,
love this song.
I feel like
love this song.
I shoot the shot. I'm coming in.